Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. So Michael Bush, really good fit for our roster, can play multiple positions, can play first, can play second, can play third, is a left-handed bat, has hit throughout the minor leagues, just an exceptional bat that's the number one prospect or was the number one prospect in the Dodgers system, and, you know, has a lot of years of control left. So, you know, if he hits for us, he's going to hit for a long time. This is not a one-year rental type of player. So really excited to get him on board.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Hour two of Inside the Clubhouse. That was Carter Hawkins, the Cubs GM, talking about our next guest as we head on out to the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois.
And we are pleased to bring in the new first baseman of the Chicago Cubs. Michael Bush joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. I'm Bruce. He's Mike. Michael, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And your first thoughts about being a Cub player in starting spring training next week.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And it's an exciting time. I've got to know some of the guys at CubsCon a couple weeks ago. So couldn't be more excited to be a part of the organization. And so far, it's been so good.
Yeah, and Michael, it's interesting too. And you mentioned Cubs Convention. You were there very quickly after being acquired. And as a baseball show here every Saturday morning, I can tell you that you're one of the more talked about Cubs because people want to know, you know, where does this guy slot in? What does he do? They know, you know, the numbers maybe, but not exactly the guy. We heard a little from Carter Hawkins there in the soundbite we played coming in. But for Cubs fans trying to get to know you and what you would bring to the table, you know, what would you describe yourself as a baseball guy?
Yeah, good question. First of all, just try to be out there every day. Gamer, love to win. And then both sides of the ball, just trying to, you know, work at and get better at. I know, you know, hitting is obviously a roller coaster sometimes, but I feel like over the course of my career, not only in professional ball but college ball, like I've struggled a little bit and have learned to, like, you know, be a little more consistent and, you know, kind of make those ebbs and flows a little less.
Michael, did you find it interesting that they automatically said you're going to be a first baseman for the Cubs? You had spent, you know, time at multiple positions. What's your comfortability level going to first base? And, you're a better baseball athlete than just some guy that they throw at first base and stay there. You played second, you played third base. What were your thoughts when you first heard first base and, what your level of confidence is going to that position?
Yeah, I wasn't super surprised just by the use of guys who can play, you know, multiple positions. Obviously, with the Dodgers, they use that pretty well. So I wasn't too surprised about it. But, you know, the comfort is pretty high over there. I played, you know, quite a few innings over in college and, you know, had a few innings professionally under my belt. But the last couple of weeks just been over there kind of getting some work in, knocking off some of that rust. So the comfort over there is pretty high right now, and I do feel good over there. You know, it's a tough position. It can be challenging, especially when you're trying to get off the base or trying to play deeper, or, you know, trying to make things a little tougher. But to give you a little more advantage on the defensive side can make it a little more challenging than I think people think it is.
Newest Cub, Michael Busch, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. And Michael, you know, the Cubs brass has had lots of good things to say about you and certainly about what you bring to the lineup. A great season last year, tons of pop out of the bat, lots of home runs at AAA, an MVP-type season. But a guy named Freeman plays first base for the Dodgers, you know, kind of a tough place to break in. But you did make it up to the majors last year, played with a team that has just a ton of star power on it. What was that experience like for you going up midseason and playing in that LA lineup?
Yeah, it was good. It was good to, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to see how some of the best baseball players in the world, you know, go about their business each and every day. Yeah, it was good. It was good to, you know, be able to watch some of those guys. But, you know, I'm excited to, you know, see how some of these other guys like Dansby and Ian Happ, like they've been doing it for so long. So I'm excited to get over here and be able to watch these guys and see how they go about their business and, you know, try and learn and, you know, try and take as much as I can and put it into my own game.
What was the Showtime version of playing for the Dodgers like, Michael? I mean, you know, you're in L.A., you see famous TV and movie stars in the stands right away. You know, people come out and they're kind of starstruck. What was that like for you to go from AAA to the Dodgers and L.A. and be on arguably the most interesting and best team in baseball?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was cool. You know, you kind of get, honestly, you kind of get lost, you know, just in your routine and the preparation of the game. And then kind of once you're out there, yeah, there's obviously more fans, but, you know, you're kind of focused on, you know, how you're going to attack the pitcher or, you know, maybe what, I don't know, you know, if you're on the bench kind of staying ready for, you know, maybe a time that you're going to come in. So you kind of, I would kind of get lost in that, but yeah, also trying to enjoy, you know, when there's 40,000 people in the stands or, you know, there is, you know, somebody famous at the game and, you know, they pop in before first pitch and you just shake their hand or whatever. But it was good. Again, yeah, so long story short, yeah, you kind of just get lost in that and, you know, preparation of the game.
Michael Busch, our guest, the Cubs' new first baseman. And we use first baseman because that's kind of what the Cubs have said. But as Bruce said right off the top, you know, you've played lots of other positions. I'm looking at a profile that has you listed as a third baseman. So that versatility certainly there. And both first and third positions at which the Cubs might use you this year. Is that something I would imagine that versatility, like you said, is something that you'd be happy to jump in at any position?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, the more positions somebody can play, the better. The more it's going to help a team. Somebody goes down, somebody can bounce. There's a lot more options you can have if somebody can play, you know, a few positions at a high level. So obviously, you know, want to get over there and get as comfortable as I can at first before we get going. But also, you know, not getting rid of you know, second or third or wherever, you know, I can be as a help to the team going forward during the season.
You know, one of the interesting things about your career is, you know, you started off in high school, not a power hitter, you know, probably struggling to make teams at that point. And then all of a sudden, you know, by senior year, you were hitting home runs. What was that moment like to all of a sudden grow into your body and start hitting home runs? And was there a major influence in your young career that had an impact on you that brought you along?
Yeah, honestly, I know I was, you know, I probably around, like you said, my junior year of high school, I started hitting some, but there was always people hitting more. There was always, you know, I might have 7 or 8 during high school season, but, you know, somebody was having 15, or in college, I'd have 13, 14, but if somebody was hitting 25. And, you know, that never really bothered me much just because that wasn't like part of my game. You know, I always kind of younger, like looking at average, and then as you get older, kind of like OBP and all those things. So, you know, the last couple of years, yeah, I've been able to kind of tap into some of that power, but it's never been, you know, my, you know, thing that I think is most important. But I think just, you know, the importance of having a good at bat and quality contact and, you know, getting, you know, swing mechanics better. I think that all kind of, you know, helped me kind of start producing a little more power, even though I'm not like the biggest, strongest guy ever. But, you know, the barrel accuracy and just like quality contact, just kind of focusing on those, I think have helped me produce a little more power in the past.
Last few minutes here with Michael Busch from the Chicago Cubs, a spring training ready to start next week. Michael, you'll come into the season at age 26, and you mentioned you were a college player as well. Some guys come in super young. You have some years under your belt, and including last season, as we talked about, the MVP season at AAA. How valuable do you think that experience is, that previous experience, both in the minors and college, will be to you coming into this season?
I think pretty good. I think any time you can get another season under your belt, have a bunch of more ups and downs, you just learn from them. I think, you know, sometimes experience is a lot for guys, and, you know, just playing, going out and playing, going out and getting at bats. I think you can only learn and get better from those. So yeah, another season under my belt, another quality season for me, and I'm just excited to come out here and get back to work.
How early will you be there, or you're already there? And what's your conversations been like up till now?
Not too many conversations, but I've been out here for just over a week now. So I've had a few workouts, and guys are starting to roll in, and getting outside, taking ground balls, sitting on the field, and all that stuff. Just preparing for first game on, I think, the 23rd, 22nd.
Yep, 23rd. Michael, Mike and I appreciate your time. Looking forward to getting to know you really well. I'll see you next week in Mesa. All the best to you, and we're thinking a big year for you and the Cubs. So thanks again for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me. Go Cubs.
Thanks, Michael. That's Michael Busch, the Cubs' new first baseman, and we should say first baseman slash, because he can play other things like third, but good to talk to him. I know lots of people are very curious about what he will bring to the table, but a left-handed bat with pop, Bruce, that can play the corners and other places, and you just heard from him. He was the MVP in AAA last year, so an exciting addition to the Cubs team.
If he's not the starting first baseman and getting 500 at-bats this year at first base, I'll be surprised. Now, again, you know, the Bellinger factor is out there. Whether or not he joins the team, whether he's a center fielder or first baseman, to be determined. But they have high hopes for Michael Busch being the everyday guy and hitting in the middle of the order for them, hopefully for a long period of time.
312-644-6767 is the number here on Inside the Clubhouse. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And, Bruce, that's the funny thing. And we started the show, of course, you mentioned Belly, but you talk about Michael Busch at first. We said Morel very easily could be a third baseman, a regular third baseman for the Cubs. And everyone was dying to see Pete Crow Armstrong last season. He came up in September. Those could be, I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to re-sign Bellinger, so please don't misread that, but those could be your first baseman, third baseman, center fielder if the Bellinger thing doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you imagine the lineup and you put Armstrong leading off, playing in center field, and Busch batting fourth or fifth, at first base, you have left-handed bats, you have speed, you have power, you have youth, you have controllable players for a long period of time. You also have the great angst of anybody that's listening to this saying, mm-hmm. Well, Levine, how do you know they're going to be okay? And that's the beauty of baseball. The nice thing about the Cubs organization is they have players that people believe in, that want to trade for players in their organization, and this is a good time for the Chicago Cubs as far as looking at young players and making them to fan bases and other teams more believable as contributing major league players. And maybe any time in the past for a long time, certainly you had, you know, 13, 14, 15, where you had Contreras and you had Baez and you had Schwarber and you had Rizzo and you had Bryant coming along. And that was a great period of time for Cub baseball. But after those guys, there wasn't a lot of depth in the minor leagues. There weren't a lot of the development. They have had success with their number ones. You see Happ still there. You see Horner still there. That's great. Wicks is on this team. But developing players that were further down, that came from other organizations, that's something new with the Cubs that we're watching right now, Mike.
Yeah, and Bruce, you look at the Cubs infield, and as I was doing when we had Bush on the air, they have a ton of depth. And we haven't even mentioned Matt Mervis, who I know at the start of last season was everyone's, you know, best Cubs prospect along with PCA. But we couldn't wait to see Matt Mervis. He got his chance last year. Struggled, as happens sometimes when somebody gets their first taste of the big leagues. But Matt Mervis is still an option at first base. Nick Madrigal is still on this roster. We mentioned Morel. Patrick Wisdom is still on this roster. So there are a lot of parts to this Cubs infield.
There are, and there are a lot of moving parts. The one thing that sometimes troubles me a little bit in modern baseball the last 10 years is that teams say that players can play multiple positions, okay? Yes, a lot of these guys can play multiple positions, but are they good at those positions?
Yeah. Yep.
Can they play? I mean, they're not all going to be Ben Zobrist, you know, that brings a high quality to shortstop, left field, right field, second base. You know, I just have trouble with that, Mike, you know, with saying, you know, like bringing Morel up the last few years and not really establishing him at any position. That's troubling to me because he's a baseball athlete. He should have a chance to be at a position. He's going to hit. He hits with power. There's a lot of magic with him as a person, as a player. Just, you know, get some of these guys a position. Don't make Michael Bush a first baseman, second baseman, third baseman. He's played those positions, but that doesn't make him a good defensive player at those positions, a contributor at those positions. So I think we're watching that with Morel and kind of, scratching my head saying, you know, wait a minute, this guy's 25. He shouldn't be a DH.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe Craig Counsell can help solidify that. And I know we've heard rumblings of, you know, Morel being at third base throughout the season. But agreed, he has to find a position. He's too good of a hitter to not have in that lineup. We saw what he did in a partial season last year in terms of hitting for power. And that is certainly something that the Cubs could use in their lineup. And right, I tend to agree with you, right? I mean, you never had to worry about where Derek Lee was going to play or where Aramis Ramirez was going to play. They played first and third every day because they were really good at those positions and you didn't move them around. Now, having said that, the versatility is nice if needed, but you are also, I like the expertise. I liked having the, you know, Derek Lee, for example, to plug in at first base every
day. The versatility to me means you can play really average to above average defense at those positions they put you at. And
right.
I don't see that with a lot of players now that they move around. A lot of them are just moved around because they don't have an established position for them. Not that there's no room for them. It's just that we haven't been able to find a spot where he's adequate at. And, you know, I worry about that for Morel. Again, outside of Morel being used in a big trade and, you know, there's possibilities of some good big trades being still made by the Chicago Cubs.
Sure.
They're going to solidify their bullpen more. They're going to solidify starting pitching. They're big believers in, you know, the pitching aspect of this next phase of them competing in. So, you know, watch the Miami Marlins. There's been rumblings about them trading some of their pitching there for offense. The Cubs might be the best matchup with them. Keep your eye on them over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks during spring training, whether or not the Cubs can figure out a way to bring in some pitching from there as well. Because, again, the one thing that Carter Hawkins and and Hoyer talked most about, Mike, is having pitching depth and making that the thing that the Cubs can count on going forward for this next phase where they hope to be competitive every year for the next 5, 6, or 7.
Sneak in a quick call here, Bruce, out in the car. John is up next on Inside the Clubhouse talking Cubs. Hey, John.
Well, thanks for making my call, and I'll try to make this quick. Less than 2 minutes ago, you were talking about Morrell and how he should not be a DH, and I agree with you 100%. Having said that, you then said that it sounded like Council had plans for him to play third base. That's totally opposed to what I just read in the paper 2 days ago. Council said that it's great that Morrell could play all those positions, and that's what he plans him to do. It's not at all playing third base.
So your question is, why am I giving you information that Council's contrary to? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm certainly not opposing what you're saying. It's what I was saying is that what I've read in the paper is diametrically opposed to what you had just said.
Yeah, I mean, again, when a manager says he can play a number of positions, that means that he doesn't really know where he's going to be good at, okay? And that they're keeping their options open. They don't want to say he's a third baseman. They have two other third basemen on the team right now, okay? So I think the idea of winning a position going in would be something that they would do. Again, I've watched this, Mike, over the last 2 or 3 years, and it's like he hasn't been really good at any of those positions. His best position, his best position has been second base. When they put him in certain games at center field, taking bad routes here and there, second base, third base. You know, he hasn't been good, and I don't necessarily blame the player here. I blame the system of getting him enough repetition at one position. Not everybody is automatically built to play everywhere. I think, you know, repetition is what baseball and sports is all about, and I think repetition for him at a position would be a really good idea.
I agree with you, and I think maybe John was misinterpreting my wish that Morrell settle in as the everyday third baseman if he can get the fielding aspect of it down with what Craig Council was saying.
Well, I mean, Council hasn't said that he's going to be the third baseman, so that's accurate. I mean, that's me just saying, look, put him at one position, you know, if it's first, if it's third, you know, give him a chance. If it's DH, okay. You know, fine. You're the DH. You know, you're the Eloy Jimenez of our team. And just relax there. Get your four bats. Get a routine going. Because certainly, you know, that players have to develop a routine to be ready and stay ready when they are the designated hitter. Just, you know, you have a tremendously potent at-bats coming from this guy. Just do the very best you can to make sure that you get those at-bats. And this player is ready every day, relaxed to go and play for you. I can't take the, hey, he can play multiple positions. So can you, Mike, but, you know, you're not going to do very good at that position that they play at if you're not there often enough. With Morrell, it's a baseball athlete. He should be able to handle one position.
A little less importance to my 16-inch softball games as to where I play, Bruce. So it's definitely a good thing for Christopher Morrell. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David this week. Coming up next on Inside the Clubhouse, our old friend and original Score guy, now author, George Hoffman, joins us to talk about his book, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. And we'll certainly look forward to talking to George. That is coming up next. The Chiefs and 49ers meet tomorrow in Super Bowl 58 from Las Vegas. Our official pregame coverage begins at 3 with kickoff at 5:30. The Super Bowl can be heard exclusively in Chicago on 670 The Score or with the free Odyssey app. Score guy George Hoffman coming up next here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, in for David Ha today. You have Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we are super pleased to bring on our next guest. He will be familiar to many. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois.
Our good friend George Hoffman has a great book out. It's called Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, a compilation of podcasts that he did with a lot of people in Chicago sports history, as well as media people, great broadcasters, great players. George, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of this podcast and the genesis of the book.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. A pleasure to be with both of you. And Espo, you've got to refresh my memory. I know that you don't work there full time, but how long have you been with the Score now?
I started in the summer of 2005, so almost 20 years now.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Long time. Yep.
It's great. Well, the podcast itself started after I was let go by WBBM in the summer of 2020 as they started to prepare their staff. And, you know, I had to figure out, what am I doing next? Well, I had to learn how to do a podcast. Eventually I did. And then we put out a podcast in the beginning of 2021 with our first guest, Michael Wilbon, the great Chicagoan. And we wound up with just about 100 guests. Well, about halfway through, I said, you know what, this might be a good idea for a book. And I convinced the folks at Triumph Books to let me write it. And the book debuted this last November. And I hope people buy the book because they'll enjoy it, hopefully, as much as I did writing it. It was a great pleasure.
George Hoffman, who was one of the first people to start a baseball show at the Score many years ago. It's called Hit and Run. You hear Matt Spiegel still doing that show every Sunday. You did that along with Jesse Rogers as a competitive thing for a show called Talking Baseball on another station. I forget the guy's name. And did it. Don't know what happened to him. I don't know. But again, George, when you put together this book, let's talk a little bit about some of the baseball people. Ozzie Guillen was one of those people featured in this book. He won the Caribbean Series as a manager yesterday. Your talks with Ozzie and just the amazing amount of content and honesty that we get out of Ozzie on a daily basis.
Well, that's who he is, and that's why you appreciate Ozzie. You know, even with his broken English, he is just one of the most unique personalities we've had the fortune of covering. Think about it, Bruce. The managers that we've covered just in the last 20 years, from Dusty Baker to Lou Piniella to Joe Maddon to Ozzie Guillen, you know, that's quite a smorgasbord of personalities. And Ozzie's great. And listen, Jerry Reinsdorf hired the wrong ex-White Sox to manage his team. Ozzie Guillen's still out there, by the way. But that said, we included, I think there were eight people in this from baseball. But I interviewed so many more that didn't make the book, some of whom were interviewed after the manuscript was in. We interviewed Boog Shambi, Jim DeShays, Ron Coomer, Ryan Dempster, Dan Plesac, Casper, DJ, Brooks Boyer, Gene Honda. They didn't make the book, but the others did, and I was really pleased to do that. Dave Wills, the late Dave Wills, is in this book, great storyteller, and of course a Chicagoan who used to work at Sports Phone, if people can remember that. But what I like the most is when you can spend 45 minutes to an hour and ask people to talk about themselves, you really get a great deal of honesty. And you can get humor, you can get sadness, you get emotional stuff. An ex-Score employee named Dan McNeil was one of the best interviews. You know Dan. You know, Dan can be honest to a fault, but that made him such a great interview. So all of these guests that I had on the podcast and the 50 people that are in the book tell wonderful stories. And I hope people buy the book. You can get it at Amazon Books. It's like Mad Magazine. The price is cheap. It's just $22. And you'll get a great picture, albeit between 1,300 and 1,700 words, about each and every one of these guys. One of the best interviews I did, this is going to be no surprise, was with Jason Benetti, a guy who drips sincerity. He's such a wonderful, wonderful guy. It's too bad now he's no longer with the White Sox. That was one of my favorite interviews to do. So I have such joy talking to all these people and letting them tell their stories. That's the whole idea of the book, too.
Our guest is George Offman. The book is called Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, Conversations with Chicago Sports Legends. And George, the cool thing about this, in my opinion, right, is that you interviewed all these guys who've been interviewed a million times before, but you're not going for the, you know, tell me, you know, the basic facts about the game or tell me this highlight from your career. It's literally, tell me a story I don't know. Tell me something that maybe you don't talk about a lot and get into it. That's something that the fans and readers will find interesting.
That's the whole idea. And believe me, I was surprised with some of the stories I did not know. I did not know about Dave Revson and his, you know, golfing foray one day when he was on vacation and he was looking to play golf and he got into a foursome. And so he met, you know, the people in the foursome. This guy said, hi, I'm this guy. The next guy said, hi, I'm this guy. And the guy he was playing with said, hi, I'm O.J. Simpson. I mean, seriously, those are stories that you just can't even imagine. The other part of it, too, is that a lot of these people are fabulous storytellers. I mean, probably the best is Dave Wannstedt, who's on the station. I think Dave came out of the womb telling stories about the Dallas Cowboys. Eddie Olczyk is a fabulous storyteller. I mean, Pat Hughes, Will Perdue, they just tell incredible stories, and they get really deep into it. So, yes, there are a lot of times you hear stories you just don't know. Unfortunately, my last guest was Brent Musburger, who, by the way, gets a tremendous feature tomorrow before the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's 84 years old, and he's got so in-depth in stories that you may have known about a certain game or event, but then he gets into stuff you didn't know. So, unfortunately, he's not in the book. But that's the whole premise of it is, tell me a story I don't know. And a lot of people did that.
The poignant stories of Laura Oakman and Sarah Kustek were something that really stuck out. You know, just that you're able to get that across in a few short paragraphs. The great victories for Sarah Kustek, the great success she's had, the horrible pain that she's hit, her and her family have had to deal with. That's not easy to do in taking a podcast and paring it down into a book, is it, George?
No, it's not. In the case of Sarah, you know, before I asked, you know, I had to kind of clear the question with her about, you know, her parents. Which is a horrible story, and she was very poignant in doing so. And in the case of Laura Oakman, you know, a Chicagoan who's made tremendous success being one of the great sideline reporters for Fox Sports and the football, is her great passion, her company called Galvanize, which is about, you know, women and getting them into the world of sports, both broadcasting and management. So, yes, you know, that's wonderful. How about Cheryl Ray Stout, who we've both known, all three of us have known for years and years and years. telling these incredible stories, and people probably don't know this, that she broke both of the Michael Jordan stories, the fact that he was going to play baseball and the fact that he came back to the Bulls.
Well, so, and even that, George, and having to make her way into clubhouses when she was told flat out she wasn't wanted and that women didn't belong here. You know, her and Carrie Muscat and Terry Tony Jannetty were groundbreakers here in Chicago, you know, getting into a clubhouse and having to deal with misogynistic and chauvinistic people. You know, that's, it goes back 40 years, but it, you know, it's amazing what they had to deal with.
Not only that, but she's the last of a dying breed just about, Bruce. I mean, you go to a press box now, for those of us who are in the broadcast business, that press box used to be filled with people like us. Now it's just about empty, but she's still there, and you're there too, covering baseball. So it's really thinned out quite a bit.
George, and that's literally where I was going next, because that's your next book right there, my friend, and I think people would love it. Tell me stories that you used to tell in the press box, because Lord knows we've told many of them over the year, and certainly our old pal Les Grobstein was involved in many of those, but. Man, did we have, I mean, just the if you could record those and play those back, I think those are bestsellers right there.
Probably most of them would be about Les. And my great lament is that Les had agreed to do this podcast, and then 3 weeks later he died. And I was really, I was just so crestfallen by his passing. But what a unique personality. And yes, you know, look, we had fun at his expense, but the guy was about as unique as you will ever get. Whether it was in the Bears press box or the Bulls or the White Sox or the Cubs, back in the day with the old Comiskey Park, we were in the third row, and there must have been a dozen of us there. And I remember a time, and I don't know, Bruce, if you were there back then, but in the first row you had some of the longtime writers and columnists who weren't exactly enamored of us being there. And we were chatterboxes, and one day, Ron Rappaport, who was, you know, a columnist, but I think he was covering baseball then, turned around, looked at us, and said, "Shut up!" we learned.
Yeah, for about 30 seconds, that was about it, because we kept on going. Yeah, the just, you know, having been there with you for 40 years plus, and just the idea of being in a press box where you're on radio and you're not separated from other writers and journalists. That was the day, you know, we don't get very many updates live from the ballparks anymore, but that's how you and our good friend David Schuster and, you know, some of our other great friends that are no longer doing it made their living. And you did reports throughout the game, you did updates throughout the games, and that's a dying breed situation now too. You rarely hear it anymore, occasionally on NFL games on the radio, but that's something that's gone by the boards, George.
Yeah, it changed, and listen, the writers had to also change, and there were several of them who accepted us right off the bat. People like Bob Verdi and Dave Nightingale. If you remember Dave Nightingale, what a character he was. But eventually, the Bill Gleasons of the world realized that the number of us that were up there were journalists. We were actually doing it. That was our job. And when we got into the clubhouse, they realized we could ask good questions, you know, but we have people who were forerunners to that. Brad Palmer was, you know, terrific at doing that. Rich King, they kind of helped pave the way for all of us. And yes, things have changed a great deal. You know, anchors and reporters are missing in this game that these days. And that's, you know, we have something called the cell phone, and that's changed the course of a lot of things. You know, the internet has changed the course of newspapers, which continue to die at a rather rapid pace. But look, the bottom line is there are still radio people covering the games, which is really important. And then there are people, you know, people like in the book, like Mike Greenberg, who was also an original, who wrote the foreword to this book. And a very quick story, I approached him to do that. He said, I'll be happy to do that. 2 hours later, there's the foreword in my email. That's the way Greeny was. So it was great to have those people do that, to have Bob Costas write in the back of the book. That was a lot of fun. Listen, if you've done this long enough, and Bruce, you know that, you meet a lot of people. And that's who I went after. I knew yep, most of them, some of them I did not.
Some of them actually like you after a period of time.
Well,
you never know.
But I had to pay them for that.
Yeah. The book is Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, Conversations with Chicago Sports Legends. Another sports legend is George Hoffman, one of the greatest update people in the history of Chicago radio and a good friend of mine. George, it's a great read. Thanks for coming on. Mike and I appreciate your coming on and just sharing some of the moments. All the best.
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate the promotion very much. Thanks.
Thank you, George. That's George Hoffman, old friend and old score guy, original score guy. It's really a fun read. Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, Conversations with Chicago Sports Legends. You can buy it on Amazon. I've seen it at local libraries. You can definitely check it out. And I know so, George put a lot of work into it.
It's a great book. And George, Cheryl Ray Stout, and David Schuster all should be in the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame. Politically, a lot of radio people are not in the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame. What reason, I don't know, other than the politics. But 40 years plus for all of those people who I worked with for all those years, and they're all fabulous at what they do. So that type of recognition should be out there. We have more to do, Mike, including talk a little bit more about Ozzie, a little bit more about spring training, anything you would like to talk about, 312-644-6767. It's Inside
this
the Clubhouse.
Inside the Clubhouse. In stereo. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Last segment for us on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, in for David today. And Bruce, we started this talking about spring training preview, and we are here. Travel plans made. People out and about, heading down to Arizona, and I know you'll be down there as well, but it all gets started for real this week at spring training.
Looking forward to it. You know, again, after winter time, and, you know, we still have some winter ahead of us, some good, some bad, but there's nothing that says baseball to me other than the Super Bowl ending and the next day pitchers and catchers reporting 2 days afterwards. So if you're a baseball fan like I am and like a lot of our listeners, Mike, it's the greatest day of the year, you know.
When the
pitchers
absolutely.
And catchers report. There's nothing better. I like the NFL. I love football and all that stuff. But, you know, baseball is my sport, and I can't wait for it to begin because it's a long season. It's a great season. It's every day for 8 months. What's better than that?
Absolutely. And the Score is your home for the Super Bowl. You can listen all day tomorrow. Noon to 3 is our special, and then the pregame at 3. So you'll have all of that right here on 670 The Score. But after that, immediately following, as you said, as our buddy Ron on the South Side said, Bruce, greatest words in the English language, pitchers and catchers reporting.
Producer Robbie Trino, job well done as always. We thank Paul DeYoung of the White Sox and, of course, Michael Busch, the new first baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for sitting in. As I always call you, the Ben Zobrist of The Score. You're the very best, Mike. David will be back next week. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website at 670thescore.com.
Appreciate it, Bruce. Looking forward to your reports down in Arizona. I also want to mention our old pal George Hoffman. We want to thank him for being on as well. Coming up next, lots of Saturday suckage with Steve Rosenblum. That's next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. and T's apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Last segment for us on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito, in for David today. And Bruce, we started this talking about spring training preview, and we are here. Travel plans made, people out and about, heading down to Arizona, and I know you'll be down there as well, but it all gets started for real this week at spring training.
Looking forward to it. You know, again, after winter time, and, you know, we still have some winter ahead of us, some good, some bad, but there's nothing that says baseball to me other than the Super Bowl ending and the next day pitchers and catchers reporting 2 days afterwards. So if you're a baseball fan like I am and like a lot of our listeners, Mike, it's the greatest day of the year, you know.
When the pitchers
and catchers report. There's nothing better. I like the NFL. I love football and all that stuff. But, you know, baseball is my sport, and I can't wait for it to begin because it's a long season. It's a great season. It's every day for 8 months. What's better than that?
Absolutely. And the Score is your home for the Super Bowl. You can listen all day tomorrow. Noon to 3 is our special, and then the pregame at 3. So you'll have all of that right here on 670 The Score. But after that, immediately following, as you said, as our buddy Ron on the south side said, Bruce, greatest words in the English language, pitchers and catchers reporting.
Producer Robbie Trino, job well done as always. We thank Paul DeJong of the White Sox and, of course, Michael Busch, the new first baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for sitting in. As I always call you, the Ben Zobrist of The Score. You're the very best, Mike. David will be back next week. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website at 670thescore.com.
Appreciate it, Bruce. Looking forward to your reports down in Arizona. I also want to mention our old pal George Offman. We want to thank him for being on as well. Coming up next, lots of Saturday suckage with Steve Rosenblum. That's next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.